Good morning. This morning's scripture is from Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. Through this, he received approval as righteous, God giving him approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before him, he was taken away, that he had pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, warned by God that events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. But this he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as deed, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the reading of God's word.
Thank you, BJ. I don't know that anyone in our congregation is into extreme sports. I think most of us have passed that age, even if we wanted to be. But there are cameras in extreme sports, and one is called a high-definition GoPro Hero. Now, you can mount this to handlebars on your bicycle or your motorcycle, or put it on the dashboard of your car. People are even putting them on dogs and just getting all kind of fun things. Since the biblical characters could not do anything like this, and we do not have any recordings of what they look like or their lives firsthand doing things, we have instead the biblical heroes were written about in the Bible and written about in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Imagine you're seeing these scenes set in high definition. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed along with those who were disobedient. And how about Gideon and Samson and David and all the prophets and judges who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised? Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. You want action heroes in your life? These were action heroes, and they were real people. Of course, not all of them, no matter how good they were, tasted victory in their lives. When you talk about an extreme lifestyle, these men and women were looked into the face of torture. They looked into the face of death, but did not flinch. They were not always victorious, but they were heroes just the same, real life heroes. Hebrews 11 is sometimes called the faith chapter or the chapter of heroes. And when you think about it, faith by its very nature is heroic. We don't know what tomorrow may bring, and yet we step forward every day, and we step forward into the next day by faith, believing God, following God, trusting a God that we cannot see, that we cannot have the kind of conversation that we can have with one another, even though we can talk to God, and God does speak to our spirits if we will really listen. Hebrews was written to Rome during the Roman time of Nero, around 66 AD. And you all know the story of Nero. It said that he set the city on fire and fiddled while Rome burned. But what did Nero do, as many people do, not just politicians, but we do in our own lives? We don't want to take responsibility for it, so we blame someone else. He did it. She did it. It wasn't my fault. Don't look to me. But when he blamed the Christians, this unleashed a persecution on the Christians that I don't think that they expected, and they sought to destroy this tiny band of believers. They were tortured and killed in every way imaginable. It was during this time that the Christians began using the symbol of the fish. You know the symbol of the fish. It's in churches, and you'll see it on books, and you see it on bumper stickers and on the back windows of cars, a little fish saying, "I'm Christian." But it's an acronym for the biblical phrase, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior." And it was a secret password among these terrorized Christians. The way you reveal yourself to a fellow Christian, if you didn't already know and you're trying to have a conversation, because you didn't just want to walk up to them and say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," they may not be, and they may report you to the authorities, and there you are being tortured or losing your life. But you would take one of your feet and you would draw half the fish in the sand, and if the other person was a Christian, he would take his foot and he would finish the drawing, making the symbol of the fish. Then they both understood, we are Christians, we are safe talking with one another. With persecution, many began Jews returning to the synagogue where they had grown up and where they had worshiped and where they had been taught. They were having a very difficult time reconciling this persecution and what was happening to Christians and might happen to them after what they had been taught. After all, they had been taught growing up that if you do right, you will always have God's blessings in your life. Now, under Nero's persecutions, they began to think to themselves that it had been wrong to turn away from the faith of their parents. They thought they no longer had to be. They thought that no longer had God's blessings touched them since they had become Christian. As a matter of fact, they were beginning to think just the opposite had happened. Because I'm being a Christian, everything bad now is happening to me, so maybe I had better go back to the Jewish faith instead of staying with Christianity. You know, many of us believe deep in our hearts that if I am a follower of Jesus, that God will bless my life and protect me from all harm. And many pulpits today are teaching the gospel of prosperity. If you just follow Jesus and then you give so much money and you do, you'll become rich and you're not ever going to be sick. And it just doesn't hold true. I mean, look at the biblical characters and what happened to them. Look at what happened to the very disciples, the apostles, all killed except one. So many of us believe that if we follow Jesus, God will prosper us in all good things. But unfortunately, life doesn't really work that way. The fact that you are prospering does not mean that necessarily that God favors you. And if you're going through a difficult time, it does not mean that God has forsaken you or that God is punishing you. The writer of Hebrews says this about suffering saints of God. So they are people of whom the world is not worthy. Don't you ever confuse your life situation with questions about God's blessings in your life. God loves you regardless of where you are on the scale of life's fortunes or life's misfortunes. Read the Bible and you will see there a conspicuous absence of trappings of earthly material success as a reward for faith in the lives of many of these biblical characters. Not all of them. You know, some were kings. Abraham became rich. And the greatest hero of all, of course, is our Savior, who died a horrific death upon the cross at Calvary. The fact that you are prospering does not mean that God favors you. And if you're going through a difficult time, it does not mean that God has forgotten or forsaken you. God loves you regardless of the situation that you find yourself in this day, or maybe something in the past, or maybe something that is going to happen to you in the future. But the secret to a great life is to hold on to God and to prepare for whatever may come your way in this life. Jesus said very clearly that God causes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. In other words, good people prosper, bad people prosper. Good people suffer, and bad people suffer. But if you expect the best, but if life should deal you a crippling blow, and which it often does, be prepared for it and hold on to God, because God is not going to turn loose of you. Reverend Ray Pritchard tells about a professor who, along with his son, went on a 1,000-mile hiking experience through mountains and all kind of different terrain. They faced every sort of discouragement, lack of food and water, wild animals. They faced the possibility of robbers. They experienced days of rain and mud and incredible physical exhaustion, the real possibility of physical injury. And if you've ever hiked something at all like the Appalachian Trail, it is very, very difficult, and there are wild animals and all kind of crazy weather comes up. But before leaving on the trip, the professor was reading about it, and he discovered that 90% of the people who tried a 500-mile backpacking trip quit before they reached 500 miles. And these two guys are going on 1,000 miles. And what he learned, that the biggest obstacle was mental. Mental. Before leaving on the trip, he understood this. So he and his son talked about it, and they put it in their mind and began to understand that those who succeed make two important decisions. Not just in backpacking, you can transfer this to life. First, they decided they would finish the trip no matter what happened. Second, they expected bad things to happen and decided that they would not be surprised or dismayed when something bad happened. So when the rains turned the trail into a mud pit, they didn't quit because they weren't surprised. When black clouds of mosquitoes descended upon them, they didn't quit because they weren't surprised. They knew that the key was simply putting one foot in front of the other and keep going. You take a step in the mud, you take another step. You see a bear, you really take a step. You take another step and your legs begin to cramp. You take another step and another step and another step, and you keep going. Doesn't matter. You aren't surprised because you expected difficult things to arise, and you think to yourself, I can rise above these difficult circumstances and I can continue on my journey. I can do it. So you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and eventually the journey is finished and you have your victory. This text from Hebrews reminds us of the fact that being a believer does not protect us from experiencing troubles in life. I've said it before, if just becoming a Christian meant that you were 100% healthy and you were rich and everything went well in your life, everybody would say, well, I want that. But it doesn't work that way. This is a testing ground for us. I never say that God puts that upon you, but just things in the natural events happen, and it happens to all of us. Life is very tenuous. Life at times can be very terrifying. So hold on to God and prepare yourself for whatever life may send on this bumpy ride during your lifetime. But remember, you are not alone in your struggles. Not like that part. It is beautiful how the writer of Hebrews concludes this passage. Remember, he has just given the readers a long list of persons who had remained faithful to God, even after suffering horribly and even death. Then he writes these very stirring words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The metaphor that the writer uses, that, of course, of a race and a marathon, lasts a long time. And those who run the 26-mile marathons, I'm sure many of them say, oh, man, that was tough, and I almost can't believe that I made it to the end, especially those doing it for the first time. But you and I are running a race called life. And when we get it in our minds that everything should go easily for us, we're in for more trouble, because it is not always easy. So we draw our strength and our inspiration from the heroes who have gone before us and given us beautiful examples. They did not give up, and neither shall we give up. As individuals, as a family, as a church, as a nation, we don't give up. In every generation, there are people from all walks of life who deserve to be called heroes. But what does it take to be a hero? It means whatever your background or the circumstances, walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Follow Jesus. Try to do what he did. Try to live as he lived. Try to love as he loved. Try to help heal as he healed. It means never giving up whatever life throws at you. It doesn't mean that you want it. It doesn't mean that you're happy about it. Oh, I've got this disease, so I'm just going to celebrate it. No, I'm not saying that. The Bible's not saying that. It says keep looking to God. It means never giving up whatever life may throw at you. It means serving God and serving humanity and trying to make the world a better place. So look to Jesus for encouragement. Look to Jesus for direction. Look to the biblical characters for inspiration. And I want to say this. We need to look to one another for inspiration also. The heroes within our church, the heroes in your neighborhood, the heroes in other churches who really love Jesus and want the church to prosper, not for selfish reasons, but they want the church to prosper so that more people who are having difficulty in life will come in to the church, which we're the church, but come into the building where we can worship, where we can grow, where we can lift one another up and inspire one another. May God bless you. Amen.